This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back home to the Garden tomorrow night, trying to finish off the Pistons in five in this first round before hopefully facing the Celtics in round two. But for me, BT, two things that come away from that game, and I know we could get into the officiating as we did. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Toughness and talent. That, to me, was on full display yesterday. The Knicks showed the toughness that they needed that maybe many, including yourself, were questioning. At least in my opinion, I thought that they answered a lot of those questions. They have so far in these four games with Detroit. And Karl-Anthony Towns showing why you make a trade and go out there and acquire that talent. And it wasn't just him. Bridges also, after his slow start, hitting big shots. We know about Jalen Brunson. But this Knicks team is more talented than they were a year ago, and they showed some of that toughness that everybody loved about them last season.
You know, listen, you and I both believe that the refs did the right thing by swallowing the ref on the corner or in the corner with Tim Hardaway Jr. because, I mean, number one, they didn't really officiate a way that would have made that a consistent call, and we said that. But also, before I pointed out to you earlier, Josh Hart was getting absolutely abused going for that rebound, shoved out of the way, arm barred, clear foul the Pistons before the Hardaway. I say all this because as much as the Knicks showed a lot of toughness and Cat took it to a new level, all the things that Sal just said, I don't need to restate them. You know what they were. And they answered the bell since game from game two criticisms as well. They were, you know, a play here, a play there. They still have not played the kind of basketball from start to finish that gives me any sense of confidence that they're anything more than I thought that they were in terms of being able to beat the Celtics or go far. Now, I do think in a lot of ways this is more advantageous playing this kind of a series, a physical minded, you know, just it's got to add to the gel and the chemistry of this team by being in such a mosh pit every single night with these Pistons who have really done a good job of mucking it up. I do think it benefits them down the road and maybe it even benefits them greatly next year with one offseason move but the core that remains. But it doesn't change my opinion on what they could do this year. But that doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy the heck out of yesterday. Yesterday was a lot of fun.
One of the more enjoyable playoff games that I could ever remember. I mean, including every game that I witnessed and endured during the 90s. That was a hell of a game. It had great competitiveness, the battles back and forth. Just to finish your point about the officiating, the reason why I wouldn't make a big deal of it, and I know Bickerstaff, it's comical that he's going to make a big deal of it, or Detroit fans are going to hang their hat on that because that's all that they have. If it were not for the officiating, the Pistons wouldn't have been in that game to begin with. The Knicks were blowing them out, and the officiating, the no calls. The Knicks are built, as rightfully so, for 2025. The way the game has evolved, they have built a team that should be successful in 2025. The game was officiated as if it were taking place in 1995. So that's the problem. That benefits, the way that they were holding on to the whistle, benefits Detroit style and their toughness and their physical nature. That allowed them to get back into the game. How many non-calls do we need to see where any one of those could have changed the momentum, and instead of it being, you know, dwindling from 16 to 10 to 9 to 7 to 4, it could have been, okay, well, it's back up to 8 or back up to 10, and it wasn't. So I'm not going to go nuts about the officiating. At least in the end, they showed some consistency because they, for the most part, put the whistles in their pocket. That's what they did. That game could not have ended with Tim Hardaway Jr. at the free throw line. Oh, my God. It would have been Now, the Knicks still would have won the series. It would have been 2-2, and everybody would have been going nuts about it. But there's no way. The Knicks deserve to win that game. They made big shot after big shot. Karl-Anthony Towns silenced the critics. They showed you that they have the skill set to compete at a higher level than what we've seen before. However, we're just getting started here. It is round one. A nice 3-1 lead, put them away. Mm-hmm. I expect them to do that. And then go, now you're really going to be tested because they have not been to a conference final since, what, 1999? That's the goal here. This group with this talent, you shouldn't be taking bows for a tough first round win or even a competitive second round. I want to see them win the second round. No excuses. But I think this first round series, especially the last two games here, BT, to me, have gone a long way.
Here's the question. You know, when they get to the next round, the next series here, does the officiating change? What I've seen, I'd be lying if I'm sitting here saying I'm watching every single second of all the other games. I'm following right. what's happening. I know the Magic have been very aggressive in their series. It hasn't worked out, but you know they're pushing bodies around and trying to muck it up like Detroit a little bit. I saw LeBron take a shot to the an elbow to the head with Gobert, and he was woofing whatever. They were both going at each other. I think, Sal, and I don't have an issue with the NBA doing this. I think the NBA finally realized, yo, our product has turned into watered-down garbage. Nobody's feeling us anymore. It's a glorified three-point shooting contest, and this is not what we built our reputation on when Magic and Bird came in and saved the NBA. And, I think it's a concerted effort by the NBA, an edict, if you will, a directive from above to let them bang around, let them play physically. And I don't necessarily think that that's going to change in round two or moving forward. I think that they knew that. I think this is their effort to save the NBA. I honestly do. To save it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, think about the reaction. You love it. I love it. All the old heads. Well, we all love it.
I like the competition.
That's what I'm saying.
But that to me is not about the officiating. I think that this. Now, again, I don't know because I'm not watching the rest of the NBA. I don't care about it. I only care about the Knicks. I barely care about the NBA overall, to your point. But I do care a lot about the Knicks.
But why did you stop caring about the NBA to that point?
Well, I think because I think because the Knicks were so bad, but coupled with the fact that the game has changed.
That's part of my point.
It's not even about.
It's a recalibration here, Sal.
To me, it's not even about the old school style. It's about the want to, the will, the desire. That's why I love this series, because I think both teams have it. To your question about the officiating, are they going to put the whistles in their pockets moving forward? Maybe, but I also know Boston is not what Detroit is. The Celtics are tough, but they're a talented team. It's going to be talent versus talent.
Mm-hmm.
Where each team, the Knicks and Celtics, have a level of toughness to them, but this is a different level.
I think they're the most physical team in the NBA,
okay,
Detroit.
Right.
So this definitely behooves Detroit. Quite frankly, if it was called like it was for the last 15 years or so, I think the Pistons get swept.
Right.
And I think that every game is fairly unless the Knicks just have one night where they're not completely locked in and they're fairly disinterested. I think you'd see a lot of, 111-89. The Knicks will be just knocking the stuffing out of this Pistons team because they got one player who could really score, 1.5 players, depending upon what Beasley's doing. But I do think that it would, like, if this tone continues into round two, while the Celtics are far more, I mean, they're the champions,
yeah, right.
Of course they have talent. I almost want it to remain this physical because
benefit the Knicks, you think?
I don't think the Knicks could beat them straight up, right. So maybe you could beat them a side way, through a side door.
It definitely benefits the lesser talented team.
Always.
So, the Knicks have a lot of talent, but obviously Boston is Boston. They are the champion. So let's get there first. But either way, I think you have to be impressed by the talent and toughness that the Knicks have showed so far, specifically in Game 4. The other thing that we talked about as we do down with the King here, 2-4, is the NFL draft. And I was not with you Friday, BT. We went over that. But to me, the Giants had a perfect first round. I'm not going to go nuts like everybody else, and we'll go over the grades coming up in a little bit for both the Jets and the Giants here. But always on paper, it's going to be better than you think. And then a year into it, it's like, oh, yeah, this guy's not who we thought he was. This guy's not who we thought he was. The main thing for me is that the Giants finally have a direction. Everybody's talking about identity. I'm talking about direction. They got the best player in the draft by consensus without Abdul Carter. And they traded up to get their future franchise quarterback. Whether Dart's good enough or not, who knows? I like, finally, that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have shown a clear direction here going into year 4.
They finally got off the pot. I mean, it took them long enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you're waiting on that bathroom line. Now, knock, knock, knock. You're almost done. Knock, knock. You're almost done. Finally, they come out. You're like, thank God. And, well, they're off the pot. It is good. I think that I'm going to incorporate the Jets as well because I do believe in the identities more than you do. I think one of the issues, of course, a shortage of talent and, really good decision makers. There's a lot of reasons why the Jets and the Giants have been doormats for the Jets 14 years, the Giants outside of 2022, just about the same amount of time, maybe a little less, but not good big picture. Both teams, as we know, is because they have, I don't know who they are. Like I've never once sat down and said, all right, hey, this Giants offense, let's go. It's going to drop 35 from there. They might not be able to stop anybody, but this Giants offense is going to crank it up. Nobody said this about the offense for the last 15 years. Now, the Jets maybe were a little more identifiable with the defensive identity. Salah, they had some good defensive players for sure. But I think the Jets, by going offense, the Jets did exactly what I wanted them to do. I said, you got to get an O-lineman, you got to get a tight end. They did both, and I think the Giants, from the defensive line perspective and obviously addressing the quarterback spot, I think they're both much better today than they were yesterday. And for me, I see a clearer shaping of identities, which is a good thing.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Matt is in Hillsboro, New Jersey. What's up, Maddie?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, hey, the Knicks got a little lucky as well yesterday. There were two key plays that Detroit blew that could have changed this game. One was the steal right at the beginning, the end of the half, where they went to dunk it, and the shot clock went off. That was wiped off, and they missed a technical free throw when Cat pulled down and, you know, interfered with the transition. They make both those shots. This is a different story. We're now 2-2.
No, you can say that about any team in any series. Pardon me. I'm sorry. Thank you. You can say that about any team in any series, guys. You know, you miss a shot, bad call, open three, miss dunk. Now, that's also a lot easier to say. I mean, you got that thing ticking down. Yeah, I mean, if he tries to float it, maybe he back rims it. I mean, you know, obviously going for the dunk, that was the extra tenth of a second that took the 2 points off the board. But we can say that about any game.
Well, what if they called a foul?
A foul? Oh, in the corner at the end.
Yes. No.
Oh.
The play before the half where you get guys, getting tackled going out of bounds.
Yes.
The hip check there.
That was Schroeder,
I thought it was Hart, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I'm saying, who's playing defense? I thought Schroeder was playing. He was riding him out of bounds. Yeah,
okay, so that's the point. And go back through the course of the basketball game and say, well, what if this, what if that? Yeah, I mean, you could have called a foul, which wouldn't have led to that. Yeah, no, unfortunately for the Pistons, they didn't make that bucket before the buzzer, but that should have been a foul. Yeah, I mean,
too bad.
There were a million plays where I'm like, how is this not a foul? And I'm not one to complain about officiating. As long as you're consistent, and that's why I'm glad at the end that they didn't blow the whistle. But I wouldn't say that the Knicks got lucky. The Pistons were just not as good. End of story. Carl Anthony Towns, you think he hit a lucky shot? He made those difficult shots. I mean, I wouldn't recommend trying to rely on those, you know, all the time.
The fall away Jays over the backboard like Patrick from the baseline, not a good way to win a championship.
Or three from midcourt, but he knocked those down. Bridges hitting a big shot.
Two of them. He had two big ones.
The Knicks made plays. Brunson hitting endless big shots.
Josh Hart had a couple of triples. We needed him to see, you know, start shooting a little bit here, you know, loosen up the defense. Yeah, I mean, it was a road win in a very venomous environment.
Now, the one spot where, and again, this is not even lucky, but it's also the Pistons just not being good. Bickerstaff challenge.
I know. 5 minutes into the game.
Like, you've got to be a real...
God almighty.
It's the NBA where how many possessions are there throughout the course of a game? You get a challenge, your only challenge in the first quarter, but luckily he didn't have that because if he challenges at the end, it is going to be... Even much as the refs want to let him play, if you challenge that, they're going to call a foul on it.
I don't understand why you would do that. To your point, 5 minutes into a game. I understand, like, if it's the NFL, even 5 minutes into an NFL game, like, if there's a blatant miss and you throw the challenge, like, you're on the road, it's opening drive, it's a difference between punting and maybe, you know, extending a drive and getting a touchdown, setting the tone, which could change the entire tenor of the game. That's different. The amount of, but you might get, you know, seven, eight, nine possessions in football.
Right.
In the NBA, well, what do you take? 90 shots a game? I'm just throwing out maybe a little less than that, but you get the point. It makes no sense to me, and he got burned, and that's his problem, not ours.
Baseball and basketball, being that you only have the one, and if you get it wrong, I would preserve it as long as I could. Now, you don't want to leave it in your pocket.
Yeah.
But to use one in basketball specifically that early, foolish, and not just because of the end result. And by the way, he probably wouldn't have had it by the end anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
Because we do use it on one of the other plays. All right, Mike is on Long Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, though, man. Big fan of you guys. You gotta tell you something. You can't trade this draft this year. You know, it's going to be next year when you trade, you're going to grade it next year. You're going to see how it all comes. And I think when you're going to see Dart is if, like, the Giants end up 5-7 or 4-8. As far as what they did, they bowled everything, you got to give them a B+. And then you see next year how it goes. That's my real feeling.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with the draft. And thanks for the call, Mike. It's why I can't get hyped. Yeah, you read it. You're excited about it. You like you said, BT, even with the Jets. They got all the things that you wanted. Yeah, that's fine. Then we got to see it play out. We've been this. Was everybody not excited about Mekhi Becton? What about Eli Moore? I mean, come on. How many guys do we have to go over? Mims. How many? And that's just some of the
Mims.
Yeah, I mean, okay, but at the time, I was like, oh, look at what we got here.
No, I thought he was going to be a beast.
D. Milner. Oh, yeah, D. Milner's going to replace
Alabama.
He's going to replace Darrell Revis.
Yeah, 10th overall pick, I think, 10 or 11, complete. He was he may have been one of the worst, D. Milner. He was terrible.
He's up there with Vernon Golston. Now, okay, so, but that's the bad part. It doesn't mean that these guys can't be good.
Yeah.
I also like what the Jets did. Problem is you can't overreact to it. It takes, and by the way, you might not even be able to grade it next year. It might take years out down the road. You know, the Giants feel like, oh, last year we had a great draft. Okay, well, let's see what happens this year. Because some of the players that I thought the Giants had, Deontay Banks comes to mind specifically, but, you know, 2 years ago I liked him a lot. Last year he was awful. So you got to have some consistency. It's impossible to grade these things now. You could be happy about it and feel good. Let's see what happens in season. Both the Jets and the Giants, I don't want to hear excuses this year. We know what the expectations are. It shouldn't be accepted that they're going to be 4 or 5 win teams. Go out there and compete.
Okay, but hold on a second. I like that bottom line approach, but the Giants have them, and they have for a reason. It's not like Vegas is trying to throw out free money. Giants have among the lowest over-under win totals in football.
What does that tell you?
I think it means that their roster stinks. It's fairly barren of talent.
It means that they think they're better than reality.
Okay, but forget about what they think for a second. If, you know, you say now you expect the Giants to win. Nobody else. Now, I think that they're going to win a little bit more than 4.5 as well. I've said that big time. Not even a little more. I think they could be 7 or 8, whatever. But in the grand scheme of evaluating rosters, Vegas is telling us the Giants roster is awful.
Right.
So then, if that's true, and I think it is now,
right,
then how is that fair to the Giants to pound them if they go 5-12?
Well, okay, but I don't understand what we're doing here. It's year 4 of this regime. If you were telling me that they were drafting, they did all they could to go get Cam Ward, and now you're going to turn it over to him at some point, and Russell Wilson, whatever he does, it doesn't matter. That would have been my original plan. Go get a veteran quarterback, Joe Schmo, for all I care. I don't care who it is, because it's not about him. It's about the guy that you drafted to develop and then hand it over to him. I don't believe that's what they're doing. I believe this year is not about Jackson Dart. We're talking about Jackson Dart now. We might be talking about him midway or the end of next year, but I think it's going to be about Russell Wilson and the Giants this year. I think that's what their design is. The Giants believe they're going to win with the group that they have while also developing Jackson Dart, and I don't believe that that's going to be the case.
Okay, so I use the term, I think the Giants checked the box here a little bit. And again, I really do like what they did. I'm a little confused how they got there. All right. But, you know, we talk about the Stafford stuff, the Rodgers stuff, kick the tires. Like, to me, I think the thing that really, I was like, all right, how do they really view the player they just drafted and moved up to get? When they threw a Hail Mary to trade for Cam Ward,
right?
That doesn't signify to you a little bit that, like, I mean, if you love Jackson Dart, why the hell were you trying to move mountains to get Cam Ward?
I thought that was your best point on Friday listening.
It's the first thing that jumped my mind. What are we doing?
Right, but still, they identified a guy worthy of trading up to go get him, and they got a quarterback. But if it were me, and hey, you know my main thing here with the Giants. It was pick a quarterback. Last year, pick a quarterback. They didn't do it. This year, I don't care who it is, go find one. Identify your guy and go get him. I think what happened is the Titans just fell in love with Cam Ward and probably weren't going to part with him no matter what the Giants gave up. So they really didn't have a choice. Can I kill them for that?
No, you can't. But think about the other aspect of this. Now, again, according to reports, and maybe this gets refuted at some point, and if it does, then I'm going to have to change a little bit how I shape this. But so they tried. We know that they tried to trade for Cam Ward. That's a fact. We believe that Shane was a Sanders guy and Daboll was a Jackson Dart guy. So that's three different scenarios within one team.
I did not see that. You brought that up before.
Yeah, that was I was all over social. I mean, I know you had a lot going on, obviously. So,
well, who had it though? Was it a reputable?
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, you know, Joe and Paramus, who happens to love, he thinks he's an NFL draft.
I'm saying like his basement.
I'm forgetting exactly who had it.
But I didn't see that from the Post, at least.
No, I'm talking about on social. Okay. I'm talking about people who cover the NFL. Right. I don't know if it was quite Schefter, but it was somebody who I trust and I value. Not that they're always going to be right, but it was presented that, you know, the GM kind of favored one talent and the head coach favored the other. And that's fine. I mean, you're going to have that kind of division, and those are conversations that the good organizations plow through and eventually come to a common ground here. But to me, the variable of Cam Ward is a third name. So that when I say it was a little scattered, it was, all right, we know we got to do something. Do we do Ward? Do we Sanders, this guy? Oh, he likes you. Let's make a trade. Let's get Dart. Like, it just seemed a little all over the map. But you know what? It doesn't matter if he can play.
Wait, give me the teams that are like, oh, you know what? We're not happy with the players we took. Just the board didn't
the
go
The Browns
away.
Didn't look too happy that they take Sanders.
I heard about that. I mean, that is a weird one. You know, you wonder if Joe Shane didn't trade up to get Jackson Dart, if Sanders would be a Giant. Because if he, in fact, did like him, then there's no way he's falling to round five, I wouldn't think. Anyway, Hoff, what do you have here for the grades on the Jets and Giants?
Well, just to compare, you talked about which team would be unhappy. The 49ers got a D, like, for their draft. So that's not... think that they did something
wrong there. But the Niners, I mean, according to whoever.
Was this PFF?
PFF, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so the Giants, first up, they got an A minus.
Okay.
Obviously, we can go through the names and whatnot, but you know what they did. Mm-hmm. They're giving grades for whatever reason.
What's the explanation? Does it have an explanation?
Explanations per player.
Oh, no, I don't want so the that, per player. That, what would they say about Dart, I guess? That would be the one.
What they said was... Dart has varying opinions on him, but the Giants trade up to get their guy. His data profiles as a starting caliber quarterback after he graded above the 89th percentile in five of PFF's stable metrics, including the 94th percentile on early downs.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
Whatever that means.
I take it back. Let's not read those again.
Yeah,
all right,
what's
the chance? Learn the hard way.
Get a B+.
Yeah. Yes, they got a B+.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, better than D+. I mean, I'll take what I can get at this point.
But now really the true exercise would be, and I wish we could do this, but every year, like, you know, next year at this time, I'm going to be doing the same stuff that we did this year. But the reality is what you should do is take all these grades, keep all what was written about each pick, keep all the comments from Shane and Dable about every player, Aaron Glenn and Muji about every player.
Oh, yeah.
And then see where we are in 3 years.
I've done that. I did that with Jalen Hurts on Friday when you were out. I mean, when I was talking about Jalen Milroe here, who's bigger than Jalen Hurts, who runs a much better 40 than Jalen Hurts. And I actually went through Jalen Hurts' old scouting pre-draft scouting report. And there was obviously a nice column of positives here, but I focused on the negatives. And if you read that back then, you would sit there and say, all right, he's perceived to be a backup. He's never going to be a first-rate starter, let alone a Super Bowl champion,
right,
who could have two Super Bowls and outplayed Mahomes in the one that he lost. So I just think, you know why I think the grades are bad? I don't know if the Niners, if this applies directly to them, but you asked, like, how could you give out a grade now? You don't even know what the hell's going to happen. I think a lot of these grades are assigned, like, if you are negligent in addressing a position of clear need.
Right.
Like, if you have three holes on your offensive line, and everybody in the industry knows that their Team X's O-line is atrocious, and there's a good O-lineman, and you bypass him to take a corner or a safety or something that you don't necessarily need as much, I think that definitely negatively impacts. I think that's part of it. And I think the other part is, and this is clearly subjective, where the player evaluations, house like PFF's evaluations, I'm sure is different than Mel Kiper's and so on and so forth. So you've got some fluctuations there, but it's definitely imperfect. You know what it is? It's called ClickFest. Yeah. That's what it's about. Well, what else can we put out there to get some more clicks?
We're sports fans, so I don't mind talking about it. I'm just saying that take it with a grain of salt. It's the same thing with head coaches. Go back and look, and we did this. Go back and look at what was said about Robert Saleh when he was hired. Go and then you go look at what Aaron Glenn
said. Who was saying good stuff about Robert Saleh?
You weren't alone. Don't worry. You weren't alone. Everybody. Oh, I love this guy's attitude. He's tough. Looks like a badass.
But
you know what I'm saying?
It was Tarzan. Coach like Jane.
Okay.
Big problem.
Well, that's the point. But and I remember doing a show like this. I forget the exact coach. It might have been from Shermer to Joe Judge or whatever. But because I remember because it was the one of the very few compliments that I got from Chernoff. And that was a good open, smart open. What I did was react to what was being said about Joe Judge versus what was being said about, I think it was Shermer before him. Oh, great head coach. This guy got this and that. Whatever it was, whatever example I use, I forget the exact one. But the point is, when you hire a head coach in real time, it's like, oh, okay, here's the reason why you're going to be excited. But you just did the same thing about the guy you fired 2 years ago. Same thing with the draft. Yeah, okay, here's the reason to be excited, but we said the same thing about last year's draft or the draft before that. There's a reason both the Jets and Giants have stunk for the better part of a decade. And it's because they can't draft right to start, for one of the reasons. But we're in the same vicious cycle. I hope that it's different this time. Maybe it will be.
I just pulled up Zach Wilson's NFL.com scouting report. And it's very lengthy, so I got to really go to the end. And it just says, I'm really liking this BYU player. The quarterback class is so overrated, but I think Wilson's going to be a gem. And he's going to wind up being one of the really good ones out of this draft. And if you guys want to laugh, Google. Actually, you can do this with Darnold too, ironically. But definitely do it with Zach and Darnold and my name and Tony Romo. Tony Romo came on my old show back in the day and said that specific to Darnold, that Darnold was going to take the mantle from Tom Brady as the best quarterback in the NFL, be a champion, be the guy who everybody else measures themselves against him. That's a former quarterback who's not trying to create a smoke screen or like some of these other draft situations. He just honestly thought that both of those guys were going to be transcendent figures, and Zach, I just don't think could play, and Darnold was in the wrong spot. Yeah. So, It's a circus.
And
out
unfortunately,
there,
because of where they went, not to pick on the Jets, but
100%.
They won both those guys. Dude. BT and Sal on the Fan. Chris is in Verona.
Question.
What's up, Chris?
BT and Sal, love you guys. First time, long time. No problem. Sal, condolences, man. Family first.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate that very much. What's on your mind?
Got it. Real quick on the Giants draft. I think I speak for most fans that when I say I don't want to see Dart at all this year. I don't care if they're 0-17. What's Dart going to do at that point? You know what I mean? Like, the reason that these guys get so much trouble is because they get put in too early. We have two decently capable quarterbacks, and the fact of the matter is, guys, reality, BT, you said earlier, the over-under on Giants wins, this schedule is, you might as well be walking into lava right now. You know, like, the floor is lava. Anywhere you step on the schedule,
yeah, but you never know when you play these teams. I mean, think about it. I know it's, listen, Chris, I'm not saying that it's not daunting. I'm not trying to debate just to debate. You're right. But, you know, let's say when you play the Commanders, Jaden Daniels has a hamstring pull. You just never know. You never know. And by the way, what is the value? I would like to see myself Dart play a little bit this year at the end. Like, you're telling me that if he's, you know, in OTAs and doing all the stuff he's going to be doing now and into training camp, probably is the third, watching the two veterans do their thing and maybe eventually move into the two and get some more meaningful reps in practice. If he does that mid-July and August, September, October, November, you tell me you can't let him play two games in December?
I just think that their structure right now is to have him sit. Here's my question. If we're not evaluating the Giants on the win-loss record this year, which, you know, Chris's point, right, that was his name, Chris.
Yep,
his,
Chris.
His point was to say that, well, we don't expect much from them. Then what are we doing here? So, because you're not developing a quarterback on the field yet. I'm not saying they're not trying to do that with Dart. They're going to do it, but they're going to try to win games. So if we're not evaluating Joe Shane and Brian Daboll on winning in year four, and we're not evaluating them on the quarterback that they drafted to play this year, then what are we doing? Year four is a punt year. Year four is a bypass until year five. And then in year five, couldn't you just say, well,
Now it's a second year kid just starting to play, so it's another year. No, eventually the rope frays, my friend.
I was going to say, so next year it's not about the win-loss total either, because now it's about Jackson Dart.
But
BT, that is a...
Yeah, it's not really that unrealistic when you put it that way, because we, like, think about this. If we were sitting here 6 years ago and talking about this hypothetical Giants run of 6 years and them not winning anything and them getting all these years to prove themselves, it would have made no sense. But based on what we've actually lived through, that's why I always lean on the one fundamental, not point I can't prove this to be an absolute truth, but I certainly believe this to be the case. I've said many times, I think Mara was very influential, very heavy-handed on what they did with Daniel Jones. And I think that he kind of stuffed them down their throat early, and maybe they could have pushed back more, but they didn't feel like they didn't have the juice to do it. Maybe they liked him a little bit more than we think. Whatever the case is, I think the owner knows he messed up. And I think this is the owner's way of kind of resetting with two men that he believes are better and more valuable than Gettleman and some of the coaches that were here that stunk. And by the way, so do I. Like, I believe that there's more value in Daboll and the Shane Daboll union than the previous few other iterations. And I think the owner probably thinks that too.
Just at some point, I'd like to see them maybe, I don't know, have to win some games. Yeah, really. Ray is in Babylon. What's up, Ray?
Guys, you're right. The NFL draft is a pig in a poke. But one thing that's not a pig in a poke is kids that could perform in the big moment. I'm driving home right now from the Ohio State University with my daughter. I just backed her out.
Nice.
Will Howard's the guy. I mean, that's all you hear about is Will Howard. I wish to heck that the Jets took a chance on him. He's a big boy. He knows how to handle the big moment. You know, maybe, I don't know, it's to reach Justin Fields and him, have that Buckeye connection. I wish the Jets took a chance on this kid. I really do.
What do you think? Why do you think he's so good? I mean, there's been a lot of Ohio State quarterbacks that get here and don't do anything. So why is he different? I mean, he's not an elite athlete. He runs almost a 5 flat 40. So good about him.
there's nothing extraordinary about Will Howard, and huh. that's why I love him. That's a hell of a sell job.
No, I'm just teasing.
I'll tell you why.
I'm teasing.
When you take a kid, I know you are, and it's funny, but here's the point I want to make.
Yep.
When you take a kid that doesn't have like the flashy tools and is not fast and doesn't have all that kind of stuff, he'll end up being a gritty guy.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. At Ohio State, when they lost to Michigan, that was a huge loss for these kids. And then when they lost that tight game against Oregon, you know, with that BS extra man on the field, you know, to run out the clock kind of thing, that is a lot for a young man to overcome. And Will Howard did it, and they took him all the way to championship. It's part of the grittiness of this kid. He's not a standout, but I think he's going to make a big, big, big impact on the NFL just.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ray. Could be right there by accident. Good stuff right there.
He's got good size, 6'4", 235, 236.
More importantly than his thoughts on Will Howard there, have you ever heard the term pig in a poke?
No.
Me neither. Hoff, Dove, have you ever heard that term pig in a poke before? No.
It's got to be something where like the farmer's trying to either brand the pig or,
so,
I don't know.
Right. So I looked it up.
Gather the pigs, and they're running away, and the poke is the thing that you stick them with, something like that.
I looked it up while he was rambling about Will Howard.
Okay.
No, just kidding. All right, pig in a poke is an idiom that describes something offered in a way that obscures its true nature or worth, especially something bought sight unseen.
Okay, I need something that's very broad. I need a more specific Google search.
All
like
right. Merriam-Webster here. Something yeah, go ahead. In such a way, yeah, that's where, this is just AI generated.
I'm going to go like this. Origin of pig in a poke, P-O-K-E.
A poke is a sack. A poke is a sack, so the image is concealed of the item being sold.
Origin so of pig in a poke.
Yeah, it's a thing that is bought without first being inspected and thus unknown authenticity or quality.
There you go. Oh, well, a poke is a bag. That's right. Now yeah, so you basically buy something without really having the ability to inspect it. So you're basically trusting the person you're buying it from.
The pig is in that poke, the bag.
Correct.
You just trust, all right, I'll take. But that's, I don't know if that pertains.
I'm not trying to solve a Super Bowl drought with a pig in a poke.
Yeah, this I don't think applies, pig in a poke.
Does this register on like the psychometer? The pokeometer?
No.
The pokeometer.
I like it. It's a cleaner way of saying sack.
Let's see. Originates from the practice
of sack, obviously.
Livestock, particularly suckling pigs, sight unseen, often in bags or sacks called pokes.
What's a suckling pig?
Don't know.
Does it give a...
I think it's a dead pig.
No,
it's still nursing.
Oh.
Is that what it is?
Okay, baby. But look at Dove.
Dovey.
Your info on pigs, Dove, is impressive.
No, on suckling.
Oh.
Hey. Dove knows a lot about poking.
Or suckling.
He's a poker.
Is there anything
anybody,
in this?
Somebody spilled it over the weekend, maybe?
Oh, I thought maybe
kinda there lingers
was,
it on the carpet.
Like, it looked like there was some in this garbage pail over here.
You know what? I did pour some out.
What happened?
It was too hot, so I have to put some water in there. So what I'll do is I'll get a cup of coffee before the show starts, and it's piping hot.
You pour it out.
And I pour out like half of it, and I put water in so I could drink it. Yep.
I wasn't sure if that was the choking episode before the show. I thought I was going to have to give the Heimlich to you.
No, I took down, it just went down the wrong pipe.
Okay, so that had nothing to do with the coffee that is in there. Okay. Now, if somebody had to perform the Heimlich on you prior to the show, would you choose me, Hoff, or Dove?
Jesus.
It's a rough one.
Come on, man.
Special edition. This is just one random question on this Monday.
I know how I could answer this. I'd offer Dove to do it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I know. Honestly, I might run out into the street and take my chance with somebody that I don't know.
Well, you can't go in the newsroom because not much better.
Gallo, they're either smarter or they're cleaner. I don't. I'll just take a chance with somebody else on the street.
Is there anybody here that you would prefer to give you the Heimlich maneuver?
Well, I mean, what do you ask me this idiotic question for?
Maybe Tiki.
That I would prefer?
Tiki? I mean, you guys did work together for a while.
Tiki would be gentle, yes. Tiki would be gentle. Tiki would be ever the gentleman. Yes, Tiki is my choice.
Well,
he would be the gentleman.
Would you rather just go?
God
I mean,
almighty.
It's a tough question.
Honestly, if it's you three guys are going, I'm flipping a coin, man. I mean... I will take Tiki. Will have good bedside manner. It will make me feel good.
I think if I had to pick one person at the station,
yeah,
I think it'd be Tiki.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because you think he's the smartest, and like he would best
that
know
for
how
sure.
to do it.
Good one.
Okay.
I mean, I was going based off looks a little bit as well. I know.
In case it doesn't work, you close your eyes, you see a good-looking man in front of you instead of like Hoff or Evan. Good choice.
Tiki, hold me. I know he can carry me if needed. Yeah, I don't know, but yes, smartest. Yes, good point. Well, I mean, it's almost by process of elimination.
But there's not many candidates around here. Let's be honest, man. I mean, it is It is a circus around here.
Either way, it was good to see we get back on track. But yeah, the overwhelming smell. I'm not a coffee guy for whatever reason.
It's amazing to me that you never have coffee.
Ever.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I have gone, like, I don't drink coffee after the show ever. Like, never at night. Otherwise, I can't sleep.
Just the one cup before the show?
I'll have, usually Jen will make me a cup, a small cup for the ride.
Okay. So you have one on the way in.
Just got to sip it, listen to Boomer and Geo, bounce around, get some music, whatever. But a little bit. And then right before the show starts, again, we have a great sponsorship with Dunkin' Donuts. So I get in there, and it's the big, it's already made. It's like the little, those inserts, which I have at home.
Right.
This is like the industrial Dunkin' Donuts. So I'm like, I have to get some of this. But I water it down a little bit. Don't put any milk. Don't usually finish it. And I don't know, it's more of a therapeutic thing than it's like a need.
Funny you say that. Summers used to have cups of black coffee. He would spill it everywhere. But
he was a slob, wasn't he?
A little bit messy with that stuff. But I mean, there were stains. You could see the stain, the black coffee stain trail from where he went to get it to all the way back to the studio on the carpet. It was ingrained there at the old place in Astoria. But I say, to your point about like it's almost a therapeutic thing, I don't think he drank it all. He would like maybe have a sip, but just hold it and then spill it out and go back and get another one.
Spill it out. He'd leave it all over the place.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and by the way, those stains followed him over here, too.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, I hold mine a lot. If you see a lot of our digital, wait till you see today's digital content. how they roasted me with my take on the Knicks. That should be a glorious day for me. Yeah. But I'm usually holding, at least for the first hour or so, a cup of coffee. It's warm. It's therapeutic. I don't know. It's not even... Like, when I wake up, I'm fairly alert. Like, I think a lot of people just throw back coffee just to snap into functionality. I'm ready to go right away. Like, I tell my wife, I'm in a good mood until you put me in a bad one. I actually say that all the time. I swear to you. Like, I mean, not all the time. But, like, if I'm gross, she'll say, oh, you're really happy. Like, oh, you've been so happy the last week or so. And she knows what's come. Like, I'm happy till you give me a reason not to be.
Right, exactly. You've been on your best behavior.
You know.
BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019. Hopefully, Shador Sanders has more than a cup of coffee in the NFL. Gus is in Ridgewood talking about Shador. What's up, Gus?
Sal, BT, it's a pleasure to speak with you guys again. Sal, my condolences, prayers for you guys.
Thank you.
And BT, if you're looking for a good coffee spot in Astoria, Moke Cafe. I promise you it's worth it.
Hey, listen, so, if it's by Queens, it's got to be. Queens doing a lot of winning these days with the Johnnies of the Mets, so I'm sure it's okay.
Oh, indeed. And I DJ for the Mets as well, so I've been able to see a lot of that in person. I'm loving every second of it.
Okay, there you go. How about that Soto misplay? Do you like that?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Woo! Go ahead. Did he home run? Did he home run? Did he go off? Did he go yard this weekend? Is he going to beat it? No, still no home runs in Queens. Anyway, I'm just kidding, Gus. Cat.
No, it's all good. That would have changed the other day if he had hit the foul pole. But getting back to the trap, I have a theory and I have a question. So here's my theory. The reason Shador got passed over more times than CM Punk for the WrestleMania main event is because whatever coach drafted him would have had a target on his back. If Deion hadn't publicly articulated his desire to coach his son in the NFL, Shador wouldn't have fallen as far as he did. And then I have a question that I would love to listen to you guys, debate over after.
No, go
I hang
for
up.
It. Interesting theory, by the way, about the coaching. Yeah, go ahead. I do think
you're onto something. I think that's part of it. Go ahead.
So, and my question for you guys, and thank you guys again for having me on the air, and I hope to see you guys in city at some point. I know the Giants couldn't push an aggressive enough trade for Cam Ward, but given how the draft panned out, would you rather have only Cam Ward or Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart?
Yeah, that's an easy one. You know, great call. You know the answer. It's choice B. Give me the two. First of all, Abdul Carter is going to be an all-pro.
But you don't know if Cam Ward's going to be if Cam Ward is the franchise quarterback that the Titans think and that many people hoped he could be.
Yeah, versus Dart.
Then that would be the answer.
But do you think he's going to be? I don't think he's going to be that guy. I think he's going to be okay.
I would rather do what the Giants did.
Me too.
Especially if they believe in Jackson Dart. And again, it's hard for us to say because I never met Cam Ward. I never met Jackson Dart. To give you my full true answer, I would need to evaluate them, and maybe the most important thing, because anybody could watch the film, anybody could look at the measurements and the numbers, I want to meet them and get if that would be my number one criteria. But off of his point, I did write down, this is why you don't tank, or at least shouldn't talk about tanking, because you never know where that's going to lead, right? If the Giants did tank and they got the second pick or the first pick, whatever, maybe you don't end up with Carter and Dart, where in years from now it could be, oh my God, remember that draft? We ended up getting Carter at number three and traded back in to get Dart, where if they had the top pick, you'd be taking Cam Ward, and that would be it.
I could make the case you may have gotten more. But if you got the first pick and you weren't enamored with Cam and didn't want to draft them, they were getting calls, Tennessee.
Right.
Maybe you make a trade. We'll never know.
Right. But they probably would have taken Ward, I would think, if they had the number one pick.
I mean, they tried to trade for him, right. So you would think that they would have liked him enough
taking him. Then they would have had to have traded down specifically to number three, hope that the team that traded up to number one wanted Cam Ward. Okay,
but you would have that answer, I think, before you actually make the trade.
But you get the point.
I do get the point.
It's not that.
There's a lot of randomness, man. You got to get a little lucky.
Which is why I just don't believe in fans rooting for tanking. Because you just don't know.
But we always will and have throughout had a fundamental difference between the tanking, which is so misused and so improperly applied by so many. Like,
right.
Again, players, if you try to tank as a player in the NFL, right. Number one, your tape is scarred, you're ruined, you're going to get cut or you're going to get hurt,
From a fan's perspective.
That's where I was going. Yeah, I just wanted to cross that bridge. No doubt. I think there's a big difference between, like, openly rooting to tank versus watching a game that you know it won't help your percentages, not that it will guarantee anything, but will give you a better percentage to make the right choice and cheering for that to happen. Like, I don't the Jets in December, like the Patriots game in the snow. You know, I mean, that's one right there, top of my head. But it's not tanking. Mm-hmm. It's understanding my season has sucked. If we lose this game, I have a better, doesn't guarantee anything, slightly better chance to do more what I want to do rather than having to trade to get somebody I really want. It just gives me more options. That's all I'm saying.